What do I do?
What do I do?
What do I say?
What do I say? In the Macmillan online community, we know what it's like to have cancer, because we have it too. So, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, whatever you need to ask about cancer, whatever the time of day or night, we'll do whatever it takes to help you. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
From Wondery and Audible comes Class of 88, a new podcast hosted by Will Smith. Before 1988, a lot of people didn't take hip-hop seriously. But hip-hop today touches everything from film to fashion to sports. So what changed? Follow Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe. So that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that. Let's get right back into the episode.
So then back at the castle, CT puts on an actual shield and helmet. He's like, look, I found a shield.
Kevin's like, yo, where'd you find that? Does that count? Is that for real? It's like, yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I'm willing to give anything a try at this point, huh? So Phaedra and Kate and Parvati meet up and they're like, we're going to banish Peter. You know, like that is the plan. They're gonna banish Peter. But then CT starts talking with Peter. And CT's like, yeah, all the girls in there at the Queen's Council right now, Queens plural S, multiple queens. It's not just one queen.
They don't need to be checking in with each other. Everybody's so obvious. You guys need some subtlety here, okay? You can't just be like, okay, we're back at the castle. Let's all meet up together and talk about who we're going to banish again. Come on.
But it wasn't even but to be fair, it wasn't like that crazy. Just three of them were in the hallway. It wasn't like they were hidden. They were just in plain sight. But because CT is the only guy on that side, I think he is like suspicious. So basically Peter is starting to woo CT over, you know, because they're like, oh, women getting together. So they go into this like
little
room.
Next thing you know, they're going to own businesses.
I know.
God, that's why Parvati thriving.
That's why Parvati, it's totally within her right to say, just because I'm a woman, because ultimately this people like CT will be suspicious. So CT and Peter are talking and Peter's like, hey, CT, my man, do you trust me? What was that all about? You trust me, right? I mean, you're wearing the shield. So, like, bros before hoes, am I right? High five.
And CT's like, okay, well, I'm going to tell you, you're on the block, okay? And he's like, what? I'm going to be on the block for banishment? What? Well, that's the first I heard of that. Yeah, because you only hang around ass lickers, dude, okay? You need to branch out a little bit. So he's like, nah, uh-uh. I mean, I'm not going to go into details about it, but, you know, that's what I'm hearing. And so Peter's like, oh, no, now it's the first time I'm getting banishment heat. Oh, no, I better get some, I've got some paranoia going on. I better get to the bottom of this.
So then Peter he leaves CT and he goes over to Phaedra, Kate, and Parvati. And he's like, so I hear there's a Queen's Council that I should be getting in on. And Phaedra's like, no, we're just talking. So Peter's like, can we talk right now? So essentially he pulls Phaedra and Parvati into the armory, which is a small room. And they're sitting there and they're both like very suspicious of like, what is Peter trying to do? And Peter's like, so do you two have a consensus at all? Are you guys going to separate? I mean, Parvati, is there something convincing that you have? Like, you're going to vote me? What's happening? Can I have a headband? I don't know. I just feel like unsafe right now.
And she's like, yeah, I'm going to save that for the round table. You fucking weirdo. Who's
Which there definitely will be.
Me, that you've got everybody against me, like to target me. Why am I going to give you information in this weird little room? No. So she's basically no. And then Phaedra's like, you know, I don't like this. And Phaedra starts getting really like, get me out of here. We can't be talking game. Why are we talking game? Like she starts freaking out. And she's like, I don't like this. And he goes, well, guys, we could work together. Oh, okay. Peter, Really? Yeah, you're going to come to Parvati and Phaedra, who you guys are both, you guys are all gunning for? You think they don't know? Like, come on.
Yeah. So Phaedra snips this out and she's like, no, I don't like this. I don't like this. Because she says, like, you know, Peter likes to leave traps and I don't want to be around one of his traps. So I'm not going to go. And Parvati is like, she's like, no, this is strange. Like, I don't know. If you think I'm a traitor, why would you want to work with me? How about this? I'm going to squint at you and you're going to perish under the power of my eyes.
So that was kind of a big fail. But also Parvati and Phaedra do act incredibly guilty. But Peter also has no chill. And frankly, he's acting really guilty too. They just happen to know that he's not, right?
Now, I would like to say at this point of the show, I'm so excited because I feel like this moment and some of the other things are going to be used against Peter. I'm anticipating at the round table, Parvati's going to use this little thing against Peter. Parvati's going to use the fact that Peter changed his decision in front against him. I think that she might even use the fact that he was first out of the challenge against him. I've sort of am really excited for the case that I believe that Parvati is going to mount. And I'm like, this is going to be great. Peter is definitely going to go home tonight.
Okay, so now everybody is gathering.
Because Alan has arrived.
Alan has come. Please don your coats and your boots. Is this where he was dressing like a fish that got caught in the deep sea? He was wearing perhaps a hat at some point.
Yes. Yeah, so he basically arrives, and you're thinking, oh, good, this is time for the round table. He's like, players, please don your coats and your boots, and meet me in the woods in 10 minutes. We're going on an outing. A deadly outing. I'll see you down by the river shortly. Well, you'll die. Next to a river. Don't be scared, even though you're about to die, because it's deadly.
Now, what was that? Is somebody
mad
here?
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Mad there. Is somebody here cleaning my house? Now I heard something like water being...
Do you want to go check while I say mad there five times? Mad there.
No, I mean...
Mad there.
I don't know. If I get murdered, that would be
if you get
fun.
Murdered while murdered we're talking about... If you get murdered right now, Ronnie, promise me one thing. Just as you get murdered, say... Oh no, I've been mad there. I know it's like not a funny time because you'd be getting murdered, but please do it in a Scottish accent.
Someone please find who's murdered me. Okay, so he comes over. Okay, so they're going to go do this thing. And he's basically like, tonight, a surprise brought to you by producer Alison Grodner of Big Brother. So basically, they head to a torch ceremony in the woods. And... he announces that there will not be a round table tonight. Instead, we are going to cheat to keep Peter, the bachelor, in. Not because he's terrifying or really that popular, but because his mother is baking us wonderful cookies and we'd like to keep her around the castle. Thank you, Alan. I love you, Alan. Peter, call your mother.
You will have the power to change the course of this entire game. This evening, the cheaters will murder once more. And you now have the power to decide who will be spared that fatal blow.
And who will be murdered. Okay, so now they have one person has to pick somebody, and then that person's going to be safe, and then the person who is picked gets to pick somebody. And, you know, it becomes another team-picking exercise.
Mm-hmm. And Parvati doesn't like this because she doesn't have control. So since Kevin and Sandra both won shields in the mission, the power to protect lies in your hands, Kevin and Sandra. Well, it will lie in Sandra's hands as soon as she puts down those pool balls. Okay, put them down. And then I give you the power in your hands. Put down the pool balls. Right
the
now. Pool, yes,
the
on the
power,
ground.
It's not the pool balls. Put them down. But they represent so much. Put them down.
We're trying to put power in your hands.
Let me tell you what real power is. Knowledge. No, Sandra. Not here. This is a reality show.
Just put down the balls. We're trying to put the power in your hands. Put down the balls.
Don't make me murder you with the balls, Sandra.
Don't throw the balls at me for crying out loud. I'm just the host.
I will not stop counting balls. No one can stop me.
All right, as I was saying, your torch has burned bright. Oh my God, I almost fell over. I tripped on one of those balls. Don't put them right in my path.
I didn't tell you to put them right under my feet, Sandra. They'll fucking learn. Okay, so Kevin and Sandra both win the mission, so they get to go. And then Trishelle, out of nowhere, no one suspects Trishelle of anything except being a living doll in terrible berets. Nobody suspects Trishelle. No one has said her name, but Trishelle's like, oh my God, please pick me, please. I've just been so stressed the whole game. Please pick me, guys, me.
Please pick me. Peppermint's coming after me. Save me. Save me. Peppermint's not in the game anymore. You led a witch hunt against her.
No, but you don't understand how powerful she is. Save me. My berets. I have so many more berets to wear.
You guys, I don't know much, but I do know that somewhere Peppermint is raising her voice at me.
Peppermint is making a face like, and it's just like so not cool. It made me feel really uncomfortable.
Okay, so they get to pick first, and Trishelle's begging, and Peter's like, to my core, I'm a faithful to the end, so it's going to stay that way, so I think we could win together, we could work together to win this, guys, and he's like, I'm terrified. But now, Kevin and Sandra, please come in front of the fire pit to privately discuss who you'd like to save.
So MJ says, I just can't imagine who they're going to agree on. It can only be one person. And I feel like I'm really close with Sandra. I was like, have we seen that? Have we seen that they're like really close all this season? I feel like I've never seen that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And MJ really needs this because she doesn't know this, but she just went viral from like
standing,
being left to stand there alone as she was denied entry into the cool kids group. So Sandra's like, this is going to be huge. We need to keep our numbers strong, which I'll represent with these balls. Sandra, put down the balls.
Okay, so remind me, the person that we want to keep safe, we throw the ball at their head. No, that might actually murder them. We want fake murder.
All right, light a torch of the player you don't want to protect. So Sandra, so they do. And who picks Kevin? Does Sandra pick
no,
Kevin?
No, no, Sandra and Kevin are together because they both won shields.
Oh, I thought John won for some. What did I
No, no, that? No. Okay, they made it look like that. So
I just read the name Kevin and I'm still saying John. Like I'm literally a crazy person who can't understand the truth when it's right in front of him. Do not call me to testify at trial.
Down. Meow down. So MJ is like, I feel like if it's Sandra's call, she's going to choose me. But Sandra picks Sheree. Which I think is a smart choice because Sheree is the one who seems the most clueless. So give her the fire and see what happens, right? So MJ is really upset. She's like, I'm like really, really disappointed. It's like really awkward and uncomfortable and painful.
Hey, that's so funny. I think you're quoting some of the first reviews of Shots of Sunset.
I thought that wasn't, I feel like that's what every diner said sitting around Reza and Adam's first date.
Yeah, so she's upset. I think that this was a good move because Sandra is picking one of the most non-offensive people, also one of the easiest. And I think even though Sheree is considered part of that Bravo group, I think she's considered less of a threat than if she would have picked MJ. Because MJ is, right. You know,
well, and Kevin would never choose
the easiest road.
No, Sandra's doing the right thing. She's lighting the torch of someone on her side that Kevin would be up for also. Because Kevin, I don't think Kevin likes MJ. Remember he said that MJ was annoying? So Kevin wants to probably light someone on his side. But Sandra, Sheree is sort of like inoffensive. So Alan's right. Like, Sheree, the power to protect now lies in your hands. You must now light the torch of the player you want to protect from tonight's murder. And where did you get that pamphlet? Is this the DMV? Gonna renew my license?
No. No, not you for dum-dum.
Please. Yeah, the murderer.
Twist. I'm the murderer. The driving me to it. So then Sheree has to pick, and she picks Phaedra, and Phaedra starts crying. And she's like, I picked Phaedra because I don't feel like people should be targeting people just because of the show that we're on. That's unfair to the Real Housewives. And Phaedra's like, that was beautiful. This was beautiful. That was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
And but then Phaedra does have a in like a moment, I'm skipping ahead like 30 seconds, but Phaedra does explain that she's known Sheree for over 20 years and they have history, and that none of the people understand their history. So her emotion really is about life and coming full circle in this moment. So I was surprised because I thought it was just fake, but it seems like Phaedra really was emotional.
It's also, you know, speaking when she said, I don't think we should be kicked off because of what show we're on. You know, that is kind of a sisterhood that Phaedra fucked up, granted, on her own without anybody else's help. But it's probably maybe like being accepted by someone from that same sisterhood after feeling like condemned by them or whatever.
I was wondering that too. Yeah, because again, I don't feel like I've seen a whole lot of Phaedra and Sheree conversations. I have not felt like, oh, they're such a duo in this game, which is surprising because they truly know each other. And I have just not seen that connection on screen. But we got like a little bit of it when Phaedra protected Sheree from the goblet. And now Sheree's protecting Phaedra. So they're kind of like building that in a little bit.
It's time.
Academy is a new scripted podcast that follows Ava Richards, played by HBO's Industries' Myhala Harold, a brilliant scholarship student who has to quickly adapt to her newfound eat or be eaten world. Ava's ambitions take hold and her small town values break in hopes of becoming the first scholarship student to make the list. Bishop Gray's all-coveted academic top 10, curated by the headmaster himself. But after realizing she has no chance at the list on her own, she reluctantly accepts an invitation to a secret underground society that pulls the strings on campus life and academic success. If she bends to their will, she'll have everything she's ever dreamed of. But at what cost? Academy takes you into the world of a cutthroat private school where power, money, and sex collide in a game of life and death. Follow Academy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Academy early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
From Wondery, this is Black History For Real. I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm Conscious Lee.
What do most people think about when they hear the words Black History?
Rosa Parks, Reconstruction, MLK, February, Black History Month.
Exactly, exactly. There are so many stories of Black history that we just are not really talking about or thinking about, especially outside of February. And we are about to flip the script on all of that. Because on this show, you're going to hear a little less
"In August 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue."
And a little bit more,
"She is a heroine to some, as a fighter for Black rights. She is a villain to others."
Follow Black History For Real on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen everywhere on February 5th, or you can listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus starting January 29th. Join Wondery Plus on the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Black is beautiful. Time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Okay, so then Phaedra gets to pick. And Trishelle's like, save me. Save me. You know I've struggled. Please.
What struggled? What has Trishelle struggled with? She's in like the power posse. She's in Peter Pals. She's like, oh my God. You have to save me. Save me right
she
now.
Is so fucking annoying. I wish I could just vote right now and just get rid of Trishelle just because of this. This pitiful display. Like,
I won't,
dude,
hold it against you.
What are you sitting here crying and begging for? Being everyone is in the same spot as you. People like this make me just fucking crazy. Like, I deserve
She's
it
so
more.
Entitled.
Here's why I deserve it. Here's why you've done nothing to deserve. No one has done anything. This is a stupid game of chance. It's basically a carnival game. Okay, be quiet.
No, but you don't understand. Fashionistas have a 1 in 3 chance of getting murdered in reality shows. It's not fair, and we have to work against these odds. Bueller, please stop. I'm about to be murdered, Bueller. Come on, Bueller, don't do this to me, Bueller. Please, someone save me. Someone save me from Bueller. I'm just an innocent fashionista.
Don't make me watch Bueller lick his wiener anymore. I can't take it.
Bueller's like really aggressive. Really, really aggressive. I just felt really uncomfortable around Bueller.
Bueller has to leave. He was licking his wiener around me.
All right. All right. Phaedra, pick someone to save America.
So Phaedra picks CT, her showmance. We like to think of showmance. And so Parvati goes, huh, that's strange. I thought for sure Phaedra would be lighting up my torch. So That's a surprise, and I'm questioning her now. Why would she light up your torch, Poverty?
Not only are you both traitors, and she would look totally guilty because she knows that everybody's against you, but you've come for her. Like,
you've come for her, and everyone thinks she's your traitor. Why would she do anything that would put more heat on her after what Dan did?
Yeah, dodo bird. So, CT's like, well, you know, listen, I like that she lit my torch. What am I going to say? No? Huh, I mean, it's nice and toasty over here, but now I got to pick. So, geez, I'm torn. I'm torn here between Trishel and Sean.
Please, pick me. You're going to pick me, right? Oh my God,
please,
CT.
Please, CT. Please. Oh, please, CT. You got to believe me, CT. Oh, I'm innocent, CT.
So I love that he's like, okay. She's like, CT and I have 2 decades of knowing each other. So there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to save me. He's like, I don't know. I kind of trust her, but God, I hate those berets. So fucking stupid. She came dressed in ribbons the other day, like literal black ribbons on a tree. I said, is that really what you want on your side? Really?
He's like, yeah. So I'm deciding between Trishel and John, and I do protect him. I want to trust Trishel, but John is really fun when he speaks all British like that at the round table. So,
you know, you got that one who's kind of annoying, and then you got the funny looking guy who also talks funny. There's 2 funnies.
Have you seen that guy run? It's hilarious. All right. Friendship a game. Oh, in my heart of hearts, I want to go with John. So I'm going to go with John. John, you're wicked saved.
Now, I was thinking about this later. And I didn't really understand why he did this. It didn't really make sense to me. Except that 2 things. 1, Trishel's annoying as hell. And I think he's like, I do not want to be partnered up with Trishel, even though I kind of am by default. And also, he knew that John is going to go pick the most faithful. And the most faithful is Peter. And it put CT in a place where he doesn't look like he's kissing that group's ass. So he can still kind of stay on the side of the ladies.
Yeah, but I think it's significant that he did not keep it on the side of the ladies. Because, like, well, I guess who was left? MJ shows that he does not trust MJ, does not trust Poverty, which is notable for that group. So then Trishel is, like, pretty chill about it. She doesn't, like, she's not, she understands, she has perspective, and she says, I literally feel like Alan shot me in the chest with a bullet. Time of death, 3:00 fashionista o'clock in the morning.
She's like, I cannot believe this is happening. I don't know whether to scream or to cry, to set CT on fire, or redistrict a voting neighborhood. But I'm going to definitely take action.
I love Trishel, okay? I love Trishel conning the cast, saying that Peppermint was being so extra. And here she is saying, I feel like I was shot in the chest with a bullet. And I don't know whether to scream or cry or just set CT on fire. But Peppermint's the one who's extra.
Yeah. So CT is like, Jesus Christ, it's not a death sentence. She's like, oh, really? Then why am I bleeding from my chest?
It's like he took a bazooka and he put a billiard ball in it and shot it right into my chest cavity.
Damn it, we just lost a number of the balls. Sandra, let it go, Sandra.
Okay, everyone, Trishel is the new pocket. It's like, no. So CT's like, yeah, it's not a death sentence. And Trishel says, I'm just completely devastated. If you're gonna burn me like this, then at least respect me enough to look my beret in the eyes.
Oh, okay. So then Alan's like, only one more person can be protected from murder. Okay, who's it gonna be? So now, of course, John picks fucking Trishel. John, obviously I'm begging for my life, John. John, I've been with you since day one, John. You know I'm faithful. I would continue. I would always be faithful to you, John. Oh, John, please, John.
I never said I was the best mother in the world, but give me some credit for trying. Come on, John, come on.
The best way that I knew how. John's like, wait a minute. I know that speech.
That is from Dish of Soap, is it not?
They're starting to call this show The Sun Also Sucks.
Oh my God. They murdered me on the machine, Rose, on the machine.
They just have an answering machine sitting on the chair when Trishelle gets murdered.
Tommy, you made me look like Tweety fucking Bird.
Whatever. Tawny, you're murdered. Oh, God. Just kidding.
Okay. Thank you, Soap Dish, for all the joy you've given us over this past 5 decades or whenever you came out. Okay. So then Trishelle's begging. And Peter gives a monologue about how he has developed so much trust with everybody. And Parvati's like, please don't pick Peter, please. And of course, John's like, well, I pick Peter. Peter, you are one of the most faithful chaps I've ever had the pleasure of coming around.
The argument about your faithfulness was successfully litigated here at the fire pit, and therefore I, John, former Parliament person, have announced that you, sir, shall receive the privilege of the flame.
So Peter's like, last minute save from John. And so Parvati's like, I was devastated, rocked to the core of my headband.
Why did you choose to Peter? And John says, Peter is mighty clever, and I think he's forensically focused on finding the remaining traitors, and I shall pause 5 minutes for you to explain the word forensically to the rest of this cast.
So Sandra's like, I was looking at what kind of energy pool ball Peter was putting out through this whole ceremony, and I'm starting to think that he's probably a faithful after all. I was like, come on. Really just ruined my game, okay?
I know.
You ruined my game.
Fucking Sandra being perceptive. That's not right.
Well, I mean, the producers even giving her that opportunity. Did. This was not fair. This is not cool.
Right.
So, Alan's like, Peter becomes the first player, the last player that is spared from tonight's murder. And those protected can head back to Alison Grodner's bed, where they will be given the opportunity to make lunch of her vagina. Thank you.
Whoa. I like that. So Parvati was like, that was very enlightening. And Trishelle's like, he's the only person that I didn't expect that from. So Alan is, send them back to the castle. And now they're back in the cat. They're back. And MJ is telling, the people who are safe go first, and then basically Alan holds the people who are not safe back for like 30 seconds just to rub it in that they're not safe.
I want you to be in the loser circle for as long as you can stand the almost murderedness of it all.
Just remember, those who did not get flamed tonight are lesser people, not just in this game, but in life. Good night!
It doesn't only mean, I just want everyone here to know, just because you've almost been murdered doesn't mean that the cast doesn't like you. It also means God doesn't like you.
It turns out we actually held a survey before this ceremony, and you are also the least liked people on this cast, not just by your castmates, but by production. Good night.
And America.
And America. And you are. And Scotland.
Africa as well.
The Atlantic Ocean. All the fish, they hate you.
Survey spread is what I'm saying.
We asked 100 people who are the worst 5 people in all of the world, and there was, for the first time in Family Feud history, only one answer, and the answer was all of yous.
You've actually beat preservatives, which is hardly even a person, so congrats.
We just found a fossil. And it said, hi, I'm a dinosaur. And the reason why we all died was because in the future there'll be 5 terrible people and we heard about them and we all decided we don't need to be here anymore. So thanks a lot to you 5. You killed the dinosaurs.
They hate you the most. So now, and by the way, these people who have been left behind are Bergie, Trishelle, Parvati, Kate, and MJ. And I think Kate's the only one who doesn't complain. Everyone else is like, fuck these people. I hope all these people die in their sleep. And Kate's like, I'm still getting paid for this, right?
I mean, if I get murdered, I just can go back to Florida. It's fine. So So MJ is like, guys, don't suppress your emotions. Tell them how you feel, which I love. That's so MJ, just egging everyone on to make a big scene, which actually would probably save her a little bit more, right?
Yeah. So Trishelle's like, I felt like shit. So now Bergie and Trishelle walk in, and CT like stops, and he's like, oh, hey, how you doing? So we can move on, right? And Trishelle's like, hi,
friends, except for you, CT. You monster.
We need wine. Fashionistas need wine. And CT's like, so you hate me? She goes, I don't think you care either way. It doesn't feel good. Hashtag getting some wine.
So then she leaves the room all dejected. And John's like, well, I guess that means you're put on the spot, eh? And he's like, yeah, I guess she's disappointed. And she's like, I am so disappointed. CT and I thought we were turning over a new leaf. I really thought he was like my brother. Doesn't a new leaf mean you haven't liked each other and now you do like each other? I think if you haven't been close for 20 years, that ship has sailed. You know what I mean? Like, I've known a lot of people for 20 years now. I ain't going to save them.
Maybe she meant, I feel like we were turning over a new leaf because he still had leaves attached to his shirt from the challenge. So she's like, it just sucks because, like, obviously, I think we're, like, closer. I think we're closer than we really are, apparently. So CT is just like, okay, whatever. So Parvati enters. She goes, well, I guess you guys are feeling good, nice and safe. I'm like, okay, Parvati, you need to just, like, chill out.
Hope you guys are having fun being safe. You're not going to be safe for long if that prince doesn't fall in love with you and I get your voice forever. Idiots.
So now MJ enters next, and she's like, guys, I do want some red wine because I'm very angry. Look, I don't find fault in anyone's choices, but that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, you know? And Paige was like, are you okay? She's like, why would I be okay? Having to stand there and watch one person after another that I built a relationship with just go, oh, you don't get to go. And then five other people also don't get to go. Why would I feel good? I'm just very, very disappointed. I thought I was done with Shaw's The Sunset, and now it pulled me right back into the emotional state of that show.
Yeah. You know what else isn't going to win any popularity contest, guys? Guilt tripping everybody who didn't pick
Never
you.
Works.
It just doesn't work. So MJ's like, I was nobody's first choice. And that is a tough pill to swallow.
But at the same time, the guilt trip shows that she's like in her feelings. And that might like actually suggest that she is a good person, or not a good person, just a faithful, you know, like, because like a traitor would maybe not be in their feelings, so they don't really care because they're not going to get murdered either way.
Murdered, you mean?
Murdered.
So she talks to Trishelle, and you know, she's very disappointed, etc. And Phaedra's like, well, you need to say I want to have a chat. So Trishelle's like, oh my god, I'm not the one who hurt him. Why should I have to pull him aside? So CT comes in. He's like, whoa, uh-oh. Ladies gathered. Uh-oh.
Queen's trouble, Council part trouble. Two. Oh my god. Are you guys going to start playing chess like the Queen's Gambit, huh? So MJ's like, you should get in here, CT. She wanted you to come up to her and talk to her. So you guys get into a fight so that way one of you guys gets voted. That way Trishelle gets voted off. So Trishelle's like, I'm not going to force you to talk if you don't want to talk to me. And he's like, no, of course I want to talk to you. She's like, well, then why didn't you come grab me? Why did someone have to tell you to come talk to me?
She's like, I'm not mad at you. I'm just hurt, okay? Now, he doesn't have an explanation, which I thought was super weird. He keeps saying, like, game, you know, like, game's more important than friendship. But he doesn't explain why. Or maybe they just cut it. Who knows? But
maybe he should have said something like, you know, you keep on having all these conversations. You have your own group. You don't include me. So why should I save you if you're not including me in whatever your group is doing?
Right. Yeah. But he doesn't, which is super weird, which leads me to believe he just doesn't like her. I think he's just like,
he doesn't like her.
Please just, I just don't like you. And I don't know how else to say it except to like not save you. And hopefully you're going to get voted out because you literally whined like a baby for the entire 10 hours it took to shoot that circle of fire or whatever.
Yeah. And Trishelle's like, I mean, if someone had lit my fire, I was going to give it to you. And I just feel like, I thought we were turning over a new leaf, and it just, like, upset me. Like, why am I not valued enough to keep me? Is it because you think John's smarter? And he's like, yeah, he worked. Let's see, Trishelle. John was a member of Parliament, and you were on the Real World Las Vegas. So maybe he does think that John's smarter. I don't know.
You've like smoked a Parliament. You know what I mean? Like, you're Trishel. No one. Okay. By the way, do you hear this? Oh, never mind. It's not doing.
I heard a noise just before.
Did you hear that creak? Do you know what that is? Sorry, everybody. This is personal, but it's a piano. When you're playing piano, you know how you have the pedal?
Yeah.
That's what you press down. Isn't that nice that it squeaks like that? Who makes a pedal that squeaks like a freaking creaking door? Like, thanks, guys. It's very peaceful piano playing been going on over here. Fucking morons.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So that doesn't make sense.
That's what they should have put in front of that door, not a fucking pillow. Get my piano pedal.
So Trishel's like, I never questioned if you valued me. I thought you did. And he's like, no, I do value you. Just, you know, not a lot. And she's like, it didn't seem that way tonight. Okay, well, I should just go upstairs and go to sleep. And, you know, if you never see me again, just know that this fashionista died an innocent woman.
I love that she just, all she was trying to do was doing like the most Trishel way of getting an apology and just having someone validate her and being like, but I do like you, and it was nothing personal. But he refuses. He's just like,
He's like, but I thought we were friends. But, I mean, I thought I meant something to you.
So Kate's like, well, going to bed tonight after the human sacrifice ceremony, I felt like, I don't know, this is possibly my last night in the castle, which is good because it's stupid in here. I want to go home.
Yeah. One thing they don't tell you is you're really winning in Florida because we have central air there. Like, castles are gross. So.
Trishel's like, I'm 100% sure that I'm going to be murdered. And I think that I'm probably the most expendable to at least my friends, if I can even call them friends and Mike in this game.
Oh, for Christ's sake, I'd put a pillow over your face myself if I was there. Shut up already. So now it's the turret time. So Phaedra and Parvati go to the turret. And, you know, it's going to be tough tonight because there's not as many people to kill. And Parvati's like, I can't kill Peter. My name's on the chopping block, so I'm just very backed into a corner.
So Parvati's like, girl, what a twist. And Phaedra's like, what a twist. I was worried about you because let's not forget, no one likes you. So worried about you. But you can't stop acting like, by the way, you have to stop acting like an ice princess. You have to stop doing that. And she's like, ice princess?
She gives her that squint. She's like, really? So what are you saying? I need to be nicer? She goes, yeah. I mean, you're giving off mean girl a little bit because you're just like, I mean, that's your face that you're making. Basically, you're walking around. You're like a very thick roll of toilet paper over a skeleton head that just makes this face.
You're like a Pez dispenser that's not working.
Have you ever seen that movie about those furry little things that turn into monsters if they get water thrown on them? Gremlins? Yeah. But like a mean one with a shaved face.
a Kremlin with a headband.
The Kremlin? You mean like
Russia?
That too,
actually. Actually, yes, okay. That too.
Just say, you know that movie where there's that guy that kills teenagers while they're sleeping in their dreams? Freddy Krueger? Yeah, you're like that.
No, you ever go to a supermarket and you see a pile of tangerines and you say, oh, wow, tangerines are back in season. You go to reach for one and one falls on the floor and it's all flat and dented. And you look at it and you go, ooh, I don't want to go near that tangerine. That's you.
Have you ever been on an airplane and there's a baby with a cough? It's like, oh, my God. Yeah, that's what you're like.
You ever see a movie with Diane Kruger? I thought we were talking about Freddy Krueger. No, hold on. Diane Kruger this time. And you say, why did I pay money for this movie? I don't care whatever happened to the Declaration of Independence and if it has a secret message in it. Now you're talking about National Treasure? Yes. You're like a very bad sequel to National Treasure, starring Diane Kruger.
Yeah, you're giving off Mean Girls, you know? And she goes, well, every time I walk into a room, people do stop talking. And she's like, well, I think it's just because you're going to have to be more lovable
Does that make sense? She goes, okay. Yeah, and by that I mean soften your heart. Okay. Be less terrible. Does that make any sense?
Try to remember you're on television and that there's an audience that's watching you. And some people may actually want to like you.
So Parvati's like, well, the atmosphere in the turret is certainly intensified. I think Phaedra would throw me under the bus if he keeps Phaedra safe, so I better keep my eye on her. First of all, you've already thrown her under the bus. So you're lucky that she hasn't already turned your ass in. And second of all, everyone else is after you, so this is kind of your only friend right now. So just calm it also, down over there, ma'am.
This was also great because this was Phaedra dropping her Southern Belle thing once again to turn into Phaedra Parks Esquire and attorney at law. And she was basically giving her client advice. She was like, listen, when we step into that courtroom, you have to stop being an ice queen. You have to appeal to that jury. And Parvati just does not get it. But she was receiving, at that point, she was receiving legal advice.
Yes, she was receiving good legal advice, which I don't think Phaedra's ever been accused of giving, to be honest. So then she's Phaedra's like, well, Peter is such a strong influence. He's a gang leader, that one. He acts like he's in the mafia. And Parvati's like, well, yeah, he has a lot of henchmen following him around and doing whatever. I mean, I want you out of my castle, right? Oh, it's just disgusting.
So Parvati is like, okay, so we have Bergie, Trishelle, MJ, and Kate. And so Parvati's like, well, Kate, nobody suspects Kate to be a traitor, so she would be a great person. But then, there's also Bergie. That's Peter's yes man, you know? And Pedro's like, yes. And then she's like, but then there's MJ. And Pedro goes, oh, but MJ's a sweetheart. So they're basically just like deciding between the three of them. Personally, I think that they have to go for someone on their side to frame Peter for it, which is a heartbreak because I don't want to see MJ or Kate go, but I think that's going to be one of the plays.
Yeah. And Phaedra is totally fine. You know, she is cold-blooded because she says MJ is a sweetheart and Parvati is like, well, she's never going to be put up for banishment and we can't use her as a shield. So do we want to murder her? She goes, okay, I'm with you. Well, that was easy.
I know. And Parvati is like, I mean, why would we want to murder Trishelle? And Phaedra goes, well, she's in that little clique, the Peter Pals, I don't know, sort of working on that branding. And Parvati's like, well, he's got his cronies and she's one of them. Like, you can't trust her. This is going to be our first kill in a while. And Phaedra goes, you got the taste for blood. Well, I hope we made the right decision tonight. This is a big one.
So, you know, they're hoping that this is going to be the right decision, right? But we don't know what they're going to decide. Dun, dun, dun.
I think it's going to be MJ. I think Trishelle saying, I'm 100% getting murdered tonight is basically a red herring. I think she's not going to get murdered. I think Phaedra saying that MJ's a sweetheart is like, oh, you think they might save her. I think it's going to be MJ. I think it's going to be someone on their side. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be MJ because MJ, MJ's also like, well, MJ and Kate are both pretty smart, so.
I think it's going to be Trishelle because they have to be get people out of that little clique. They can't just allow that clique to be, they can't allow that clique to thrive. They just can't. They need to do something.
But the thing is, if you get rid of Trishelle or Bergie, maybe it's going to be Bergie because I don't think they even actually contemplated Bergie that much here. They just said they contemplated the others more. Bergie, I don't know, if you kill Bergie or Trishelle, it just makes Peter look more like he's a faithful. But then again, they could always plant a bug in Sandra's ear to say Peter killed one of his own to throw the scent off of himself. So,
yeah, I don't know. I think at this point they're under suspicion anyway, so they need to get out of the threats. That's what I think. But who knows, really?
Yeah, I can't tell how it's going to go. I'm so excited.
I can't tell either. But I can't wait till they pick another traitor.
Who do you think they're going to pick to be the next traitor? Or do they pick, or does, at this point, since they were turned down, is a traitor automatically assigned to them? I don't remember the rules.
I have no idea. I have no idea, but I guess we'll stay tuned. Everyone, thanks so much for...
Traitors!
Thanks, everyone, for being here today to talk about traitors. Don't forget to go to watchwithcrappens.com where you can get tickets to our big show happening this Saturday in downtown LA. That's also that link. You can also get your streaming tickets, and you can also vote. Even if you're not coming, please vote. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Cotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.